B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Adam Schefter joins us. And the 11-1 Eagles obviously put everything together against Tennessee, Adam, and it's been a fun week talking about what this team could be. I want to know from your input, what are the Giants potentially as they lie in wait? 1-3-1 in their last five. Have they finally come to be the team that they probably should have been all along?
Well, I think that people weren't expecting all that much, and they got out to the quick start, in part because of the schedule and in part because they played well and they were coached well. But, yeah, now we're into December. Now it's a little bit more real. Now there's a longer body of work, and I think you're seeing what they're a good team, but they're a flawed team, and they're not a great team, and this is the kind of game that Philadelphia should handle and take care of business. But the fact of the matter is, Philadelphia, I haven't looked at the NFC standings. Can anybody catch them?
Yes.
For Dallas or Minnesota?
Dallas and Minnesota can both catch them. Minnesota's one back. The Eagles have a simple formula, Adam. Win four of their last five. Any four or five. You don't have to. They can pick any game to lose out of the five. If they win four, they get the number one seed.
Well, and that's assuming that
they get no help.
Dallas and Minnesota don't lose.
Correct.
The rest of the way,
but that's
right?
That's their formula going into this week. They know they got to win four out of five, and you can lose any game you want of the five.
Right. So the chances are, I mean, we don't want to think like this, and you don't want to talk like this. I got it. But the fact of the matter is, if they go 3-2 down the stretch, then they're probably going to have home field advantage.
Yeah, they got a good shot. They got a good shot if they put that together. The Giants, right, though,
four and one locks it up.
Yeah, 4-1 locks it on up.
Shefty, one of the concerns for the Eagles is obviously the Dallas Cowboys. They visited with Odell Beckham Jr. Talk about them not being real happy with his physical status. Is there any chance that's totally over, or where does that circumstance lie?
Well, it's not totally over. I still think Dallas is there, but I think, as Edward reported yesterday, Dallas seems to have some concerns there, some questions there about when he's going to be ready. And so, here's the deal. Even if he does wind up in Dallas, I guess the question that anybody would ask and has asked all along is, when is it realistic for Odell Beckham to come back and be Odell Beckham? He can come back and play right now, I believe. I don't think that's an issue. And 75% of Odell Beckham Jr. is probably better than most receivers anyway. But is he going to be 100% Odell? Is he going to be the Odell that we know and has been such a great player for? I don't know that he's going to get there during this regular season. I just don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know if that's realistic. He's going to come in wherever he goes, assuming he goes somewhere, learn an offense, work with that quarterback. Like, he's not stepping in and functioning as the Odell Beckham Jr. that we know right away. It's just not going to happen.
When you look at the analytics that came out of ESPN the other day, They listed the Eagles as the fourth favorite to win the Super Bowl.
And I
looked at it and I was trying to figure out what logic was being used in it, because the three teams that were ranked ahead of them all had either lost to Eagles opponents or managed to also lose three games where the Eagles have lost once. Do you get a sense when you talk to people around the league that maybe the Eagles aren't the team that their record says they are?
No, I haven't heard that at all. Who are the three teams that ESPN, the analytics model, had ranked?
Cowboys number one, which is ridiculous because they can't even be the number one seed. They'd have to play an extra game and everything unless the Eagles open the door. Cowboys number one, Bills number two, Chiefs number three.
Well, I can see Buffalo and I can see Kansas City. And Buffalo at some point probably going to have to go on the road in the postseason, right?
Well, they're going to have to go to the Buffalo. No, they're going to be at home. They get the number one seed right now.
They're number one?
Because they beat Kansas City.
So they
have the number one seed right now. They both have three losses. They've got the number one seed. So they got this thing locked up. If they don't lose the rest of the way, they've got it locked up. Everything will go through Orchard Park.
Well, in that case, I like Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to be tough to put away at home. I don't know how Dallas's Super Bowl chances can be better than Philadelphia's when Dallas is going to have to play how many games?
They're going to have to play an extra game. Unless the Eagles, plus they're going to be on the road the entire postseason.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at it right now, if Philadelphia holds on to win the division, which we, guess, would agree is the most logical outcome right now.
Right.
There's the very real possibility that Dallas is playing its opening round playoff game in Tampa.
Correct.
Against the Buccaneers. So
they lost 19-3 against them earlier this year, by the way.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a good point. And so if you get Tampa in round one and you win that game, then in round two you're going to probably play against
Minnesota. Right. No, they'd play the Eagles. They'd play the Eagles unless one of the teams behind them pulled an upset.
Right.
They would go they'd come to Philadelphia in the divisional round.
But there's usually an upset, Sean. There's usually an upset somewhere in the playoffs.
There could be. I'm not seeing Washington. What? Right now it's New York and Seattle. I don't know if I see either one of them pulling an upset, beating Minnesota on the road and going to win a game like that, or even beating San Francisco. I'm not sure that happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't think that you could say Dallas' chances are better. That seems off to me, just because of the logic of the situation. They have to win more games in the playoffs. They have to win on the road in the playoffs. That cannot give a team a better chance than the number one seed. It just can't. It's just not logical.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Shefty, 2 days after the Eagles beat the Titans, the Titans announced that they fired general manager John Robinson. Now, just a fandom looking in here. He's done a pretty decent job with who he's drafted, who he had.
Yeah.
The one big mark maybe is that he let go of A.J. Brown, made a trade, and did what he did there. Is there a correlation there that the ownership group watched A.J. Brown against the Titans on Sunday and that may have been the over-the-top thing, or is there more to it than that?
You know, well, first of all, the Titans are 5-27, okay, in the 2 years before John Robinson became the general manager. They're 5-27.
Right.
And since that time, with Robinson as the GM, they're 66-43. They are in first place by three games right now. He's never had a losing season. His worst year is 9-7, and they fired him.
There's something, and then there has to be something else to the story, right?
Well, listen, it's very interesting. As soon as it happened yesterday, my phone rang. I must have gotten 15 calls from people around the league. Everybody wanted to know, what's the story? What's the story? Why did John go? And most people thought something happened. They said this has to be a case where it's a non-football decision. Something happened that we don't know about that led to this. I made calls, and the best that I can tell, And it certainly sounds plausible, is that according to the people I've spoke to, John, who has done a tremendous job there, basically wasn't including the owner in his decisions, wasn't filling her in on what he was doing. And I think, and not just once or twice, like this had been a recurring pattern
of
behavior. And so, and so I think she was not happy about that. Now, when you take that into consideration and then you go see A.J. Brown go do what he did, do I think that A.J. Brown made the decision? No. Do I think it's in the pot of vegetables that stewed up for the vegetable, that's being stirred up for the vegetable stew? Yeah, it's in the pot.
But there you go.
I think John, from what I could tell, made his own bed, so to speak, you know, set it up where most GMs that I know, they're going right to their owners on everything. They're telling them, hey, just want to give you a heads up, Mr. Lurie. You know, just want to give you a heads up here that we're thinking about trading for you. Like, Jeffrey Lurie knows what's going to happen before it happens.
Do you have any
I'm going to be surprised.
Do you have any belief that, I know they can't sign him till the offseason, but do you have any belief that any kind of talks have already been started or are going on between the Eagles and Jalen Hurts on an extension?
That's a good question. what would you classify as talks?
Where each side just starts to say the kind of neighborhood that they would be shopping in as far as what they'd be willing to spend.
John, I think that both sides would know that. I don't think it's very hard to figure out where this deal is going to come in.
No, but I mean, do you believe that they have already started said conversations?
Well, I think there's probably been some phone conversations, some general, like, vague stuff. Like, I don't think it's hardcore or anything like that.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I follow what you're saying. But, I mean, it sounds like you believe that this will be done, that these sides would probably both be interested in getting this done.
It sounds like Shefty knows more than he's telling us. Let's say it that way.
It sounds like a little more.
How about you're both right?
I love that. Okay, that means a good line of questioning then.
Let's just put it this way in a nutshell. Had they not talked, Shefty might say, I don't think they have had conversations. But since he's basically saying nothing to the adage of have they talked, and he says probably so, that means they're in deep discussions in my book.
I think that sounds like good news to a lot of you.
No. No, they're not in deep. But
got him.
The quarterback of the team, okay? Like, of course there's going to be conversation. Like, I don't want to make this into, like, oh, they're contract talks are underway. It's not that. Like, there's open dialogue just because he's the quarterback.
Okay.
And when they do that deal, it's going to be the biggest deal that they've done in franchise history. So it just doesn't just happen that you sit down one day on March 15th. All right, we're going to talk about this now? Like,
okay.
No, that's not how it works.
It's good.
Right? So the point is, like, have the sides been in communication? Of course they have. It's only logical thing. Have they gotten into hardcore? No, that hasn't happened. But, of course, the lines of communication, of course, are always open.
Okay.
And should be open. And it's nothing unusual.
All right. I'm just asking. Just asking. Just trying to make sure.
No.
I got you.
I can tell you this. It'll be a big story in the offseason. Of course it will.
That'll be good.
They have to get it done.
Yeah, they do.
They have to do that deal this offseason, because what is Jalen Hurts? I have to look to see what he's supposed to make next year. What's his base salary for next year? I believe it's like $1.5 million or something.
They got to get to work on it. So, all right, Shefty, we'll look forward to talking about the 12-1 Eagles next week.
That would be interesting, and they would be one step closer to locking up that one. And maybe, if they got to 12-1, maybe they would overtake the Dallas Cowboys in the ESPN.
Yeah, exactly.
Chance to win the Super Bowl.
I'd just smack somebody. I'd go by one of those cubicles today with one of those pencil pushers, and I'd smack them. There you go, buddy. Thanks, man.
Yeah, like, what is it? Have a great week, guys.
Take care, buddy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.